a different perspective. And you know, you say, well, you talk about Jesus a lot. Well, yeah. I mean, if you knew where I come from, and you probably have the same thing, your past probably follows you along, and the devil wants to keep using it against you. But I'm believing that God wants to break those chains. God wants to take those away. But you know, the devil's not going to let you go easy. He's going to continue talking bad about you. Not to you, but to everybody else. And then what's happened? Everybody else gets forms their own opinion about you. Hallelujah. Not just you, me also. But I believe today there's a mighty sweep of the Holy Spirit of God throughout the church world, throughout the church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm talking about people that are preaching the word. I'm not talking about with the smoke machines and everything. I'm talking about preaching the word of God, because you need the word of God. I need the word of God. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the word of God because I can't do without it. Think about what I'm talking about. Can you do without air? No, and Jesus is better than the air. You think about it. I get excited about what he does, and I'm running to church praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I know what he's done for me. And if he hasn't done anything for you, you need to check yourself. Because God wants to do something through each and every one of you. God wants to work through you. And you know, and I'm believing that he is developing and maturing his people spiritually. I'm not talking about mentally, because our minds are not with God, with Jesus, right? Because his word, you probably know some people that always, they say, well, I just don't understand what that means. That's what I'm saying. The word of God has taken and put you into your mind. You can't understand it all the way. So you grow. You're maturing in the word of God. Like I said before, we don't have any small, well, like Tatum or any of the younger people that are in the Christian and all them, when they were born, they didn't go to the 12th grade. They had to start off young and go through their classes and go through the whole situation with the learning that they have. And, you know, teachers understand that, certain age group teachers that teach kids a certain stuff. Hallelujah. But you know, I'm believing that he's developing in you and maturing his people spiritually while we serve as representatives here on earth. You understand what I'm saying? That we are representatives. When you go out into the cities or stores or wherever you go, that you're representing God. Are you representing God? Are you showing the very best? I was just, we were talking before church. They shut down the Budan Festival early because fights broke out. Boy, that's, you know, you hate, you know, you wouldn't want to see, Pastor Randy thrown out of the Budan Festival fighting. Boy, that's representing God, isn't it? Yeah, you see what I'm saying? We're representatives. Are we showing the world who we are? Because we're set apart. We're not of this world. We're not part of this thing. We're set apart. We're doing the work of God because God is maturing us to do his work. And you know, you say, well, I don't know what he's doing. Well, just seek God. Seek his face. Seek the Spirit of God and say, God, you know, a lot of people say this, but they don't mean it. Here I am, Lord. Just tell me what you want me to do. Boy, you know, they're out of church and gone. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because God tells them to do something and they're not mature enough to say, I'm just not for me. God's got it wrong. That's for somebody else. But you know, but I'm convinced that the Lord desires us to fully understand what Jesus accomplished for us through his life, death, and burial, and resurrection. Now, we can't take it lightly what Jesus did for us. I mean, sure, we can joke. We can have a good time. But when it comes down to the nuts and bolts, we need to understand what Jesus did for us. Jesus, He was born. His life, he walked on this earth, but he was also crucified. And as I said last week, he was killed by us. I'm saying us as Christians. Christians killed him, crucified him. Can you imagine? I mean, I know I've heard people, not heard, but I know some people have probably said it under their breath, they wanted to crucify me because of something I might have said or done or whatever. You know, all I do is give, I'm just a messenger. I give the message, I believe what the Spirit of God wants to, for you to hear. But you know, we need to look into Jesus' earthly ministry so that we can clearly see what took place. Jesus is the only way to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? He's the only way to heaven. The only way to get through to heaven is through him. You ever been somewhere and they want to see your ID? And if you don't show an ID, they won't let you in? Yeah, I imagine just about everybody, that's been to a place and you have to show an ID, and you what? If you don't show an ID, you can't get in. What is our ID to get into heaven? It's Jesus. Jesus. He's in our heart. He is. We serve him. We do what we can for him. We give him all the praise, glory, and honor. No matter what the situation may be. The world may be crumbling around us, but we still got our eyes focused on him. And we all could be like that Peter getting out of the boat. Oh, yeah, call me, Lord. We get out of the boat and starts looking at the storm. You understand? There's storm all around us. And I know this for a fact, that the more of Jesus you have in here, the more you serve Jesus, the more you do for Jesus, and the more that the world comes around you, you don't even know it. Jesus has saved us from a lot of big time trouble. Oh, I don't know. You don't know what I've been through. But can you imagine what you'd have been through without Jesus? I hear people outside these walls all the time talking about what Jesus, you know, what's going on in their life. And I said, you know, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. Do you serve Jesus? Do you acknowledge him? Do you praise him? You go into the church and just give him all the praise, glory, and honor? No, I don't believe in them church things. Well, I can't do you no good. Praise the Lord. Matter of fact, I want you to look in Philippians 2:8. Philippians 2:8. Praise the Lord. You getting anything out of this so far? All right. Praise the Lord. One of you. Thank you, Lord. Will it be a quiz at the end? Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I got the test papers right here. I'll pass these out probably a little bit later. So pay attention. Hallelujah. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man." Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Now just stop right here for a second. We'll pick up. Jesus would walk into this place. Would you know him? You say, well, yeah, I see pictures. Is that what Jesus looked like? Now you can imagine he was probably dark skinned and from that area of the country, you know, Israel and all that. And being found appearance as a man. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know what Jesus looks like? You know, the Spirit of God is in you now. But you understand, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You getting what I'm saying here? That this verse declares that Jesus became a man in order to be our sacrificial substitute. He was our substitute. And it ain't like that little commercial with those little gummy things, you know, the two little football players on the sideline. You blow the whistle and they say, wow, I'm going to miss this one. These are too good. You know, however they talk. Oh, no. And then the coach up there. You understand what I'm saying? That Jesus did all of this for us. He was our substitute. Our substitute for the death that we deserved. And how do we honor him for taking our place? By being in his worship, being in his place, being and coming in and give him all the praise, glory, and honor, and giving him all the praise. Because for what he did for us, he saved our lives. Because we were headed the wrong way. You know, and I don't care how good you were, how faithful you were in church, but when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, your life changed. Boom. And if it didn't change, you didn't accept him. You're not born again. Why? Because when you're born again, you're born again. And you know, think about it. When you're born again, you're new, right? You know, like everybody knows about when the lady gives birth to a baby, that's new birth, right? Brand new. And you know, we have to understand those things, that we are born again believers. We're born again. We're not the same old person we used to be. But you know, there's a spiritual benefactor on the cross of Calvary, what Jesus did for us. Can you, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever been in a court case or you were charged for something. And it's like you were charged for that. And then it's like somebody come in and says, he's all right, let him go. I'll take his place. You see what I'm saying? Why do I love Jesus? Why do I worship him? Why am I in his house? Why am I doing the things I do? Because I know what he did for me. And that, you know, I could never pay him back for what he did. And guess what? He don't want to pay back. He don't want me to pay him back. But he does want me to worship him. He wants me to give him everything that I have in my spirit. And, you know, using this biblical truth as our platform that we talk about, we will expand and build on the theme of Jesus' becoming a man, so he might be our substitute. He died for us. We didn't deserve it. You know, you think about, you know, don't think too hard on it, but your past, because the devil wants to keep bringing that up. But I'm believing together that we will behold the Lamb of God from a perspective now, I want you to look at this, that is different from the way he is normally viewed. You know what I mean? People have a picture of Jesus on the wall. I don't know if that's him or not, but it's a picture. Somebody sold for some, you know, a picture of it. But you know, we have to look at that. And you know, he's normally viewed a certain way. But also we have to understand that we would behold the humanity of Jesus Christ. You know, he was a human. He became human for us to take our place here on earth. And Jesus Christ is God. Yet at the same time, he also became a man to save the human race from eternal death. What can I say? I mean, he did that to save us. And I'm probably preaching to the choir. But, you know, what I'm saying is, but I believe it's good for you to hear that he came to save us. He died for me. Can you say the same thing, that he died for me? And when somebody takes your place, takes your death place, can you give him all the praise, glory, and honor? Hallelujah. So we have to understand that Jesus Christ is God, and at the same time, he also became a man to save the human race. Because you know, the human race was going to hell. But God loved the people so much. But there's some that are going to not make it. Hallelujah. But somebody would say, well, how could he be God and a human being at the same time? I don't know, has anybody ever had that question come through their mind? I have. How can that happen? How can God become a man? God can do whatever he wants, for one thing. But that's what he knew, that it took a living sacrifice. So Jesus came and took our place because he was our living sacrifice. You know, and I'm believing with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will explore the scriptures and address this very subject about Jesus, You know, are you excited about what Jesus did for you? When your favorite football team wins, are you excited about them winning? I can tell you, I'm excited about me winning because of what Jesus did for me. Now, we do get excited when we watch a game or this, that, and the other. And, you know, and sometimes get disappointed because they didn't win. But one thing about it, being a Christian and giving your heart to Jesus, what? We win. We don't lose. We don't, you know, we got, our wins are a whole lot more to our losses with Jesus. Yeah, but you don't know what happened to me. I don't, it ain't going to matter. You still going to win, just don't give up on God. Get up and keep going. Hallelujah. You know, we're going to come upon many scripture conclusions that may startle some. I'm just kind of getting into some, eventually some scriptures here. But, you know, it's going to startle some. Nevertheless, now, there are Bible truths. Some people don't believe the whole Bible. Some people don't think different things. They don't believe in certain things to take place in church. They don't believe that certain people are able to preach. Some people don't believe. Some denominations won't let a divorced person get on the platform and preach. Some people won't allow, don't like it when women preach. Why not? God calls men, God calls women. You understand what I'm saying? The word is wide open for all the ministry of God. You know, you think about it. Remember the lady that was almost stoned by some people and Jesus saved her from being stoned? She, you know, she wasn't no minister. Well, I guarantee you she ministered to a lot of people because of what Jesus did to her. And I have no qualm about a lady ministering. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And especially in a non-denominational church, women can preach the word. Matter of fact, we have it done right here. But I'm believing right now it's absolutely necessary for us to view Jesus Christ as a man, a God-man from heaven, if we are to put ourselves in the position to understand the scriptures as they unfold. Because the Word of God, when we start looking into the Word is going to materialize right before our eyes. And you know, in gaining this additional truth about life and ministry of Jesus will encourage and strengthen us in every area of our life. Every area of our life. Praise the Lord. And you know, we have to also understand that we can be like Him and follow in His footsteps by worshiping Him and knowing more about Him according to His Word. But you know, we want to start looking into the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. That's the first book of the Bible for the ones that never opened it. Praise the Lord. Did you know that right in the midst of the Garden of Eden, God made some profound statements that we just kind of stumble over concerning the Lord Jesus that are still applicable for us today? Genesis, still applicable today for us. You know, it was there in the presence of Adam that God spoke. And remember now, if you have never read it, we're going to look at some Genesis here in a little bit. You know, some words He spoke concerning Eve and that old serpent who is called the devil. You know, we're not going to go in whose fault was it that ate the apple. They both were wrong. Hallelujah. I want you to look in Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15. And it says, I will cause hostility. Anybody have had hostility in their life? Well, okay. I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Now, you know, God is talking to the devil and Eve, right? Okay. This announcement came to the man at the best time of his deepest failure. because of their disobedience. God don't like disobedience. And Adam and Eve lost their place of right standing with God. I don't want to lose my standing with God. And there were now fallen ones. Hallelujah. Because they had transferred their allegiance over to another entity or power. And we all know that's the devil, right? The devil himself. They turned everything, all the kingdom over to the devil. So, we're not going to do that, are we? No. But they disobeyed God and became obedient to the evil one. You probably know people out there, maybe been in church for years, and all of a sudden they're gone and they turned everything over and serving the devil, doing what the devil says. Hallelujah. But God immediately came on the scene, and after questioning him, he proclaimed that he would put division, now remember that scripture, or hatred between the woman and the serpent, and between the serpent's seed and her seed. And you know, seed means offspring or children in this verse, indicating that the devil would also have offspring. Did you read that? I didn't go too fast over it. Okay, that's what it's telling me. The devil's got offspring too. Whew. In fact, there are only two groups of people in the world. Two groups. I don't care what you say. Oh, they got this. No, there's only two groups in the world. The children of God and the children of the devil. You belong to one or the other. And that's your choice. You can be following God, or you can follow the devil. Hallelujah. But you know, we have to understand that every human being is either, like I said, a child of God or a child of the devil. And there we notice the next part of Genesis 3:15, it says, which refers to the seed of the woman. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The word he in this verse refers to none other than Jesus Christ. He will strike. He will strike. Don't say, I'll strike. You know, he says, he will strike. Jesus will strike. And you know, you think about that. Right here on the onset of man's fallen nature. Now think about what Jesus did for us. That we don't have to go through that. Right here in the onset of man's fallen nature, God came in with a plan. How many times we don't wait on God's plan? We do our own plan. We do our own thing. We don't wait on his plan. But like he said, after Adam and Eve, after they messed up so bad, they turned all their rights over to the devil. And you know, God was still with them. Remember when they were in the garden and God was looking for them. God knew where they were. He knew what happened. But he was looking for them. And then they can't go. What did they say? We can't come out because we're naked. What did God do? So they were trying to hide themselves. I don't know about any of you. Have you ever had any fig leaves on your arms? Can you imagine fig leaves on you? They kind of irritate, don't they? God saw that. He still loved them for who they were. That was God's creation. He gave them what? Animal hide to cover themselves. Now that's how much God loves them. After they done sold all their real estate over to the devil. Now did they get all the blessings? Not really. But you understand what I'm saying, that God loves us that much, that, you know, even right in the middle of all this fallen failure that took place before we come along. That's why, you know, when we were born in sin. But we had to, after our age accountability, we got up old enough, then we should know better that Jesus is our Lord. We should know Jesus as our Lord. And you know, we leave all the habits of the world. We leave all the stuff of this world. We leave it alone. Because why? Because God wants us to be pure before him. Not Sunday. He wants us the whole week. He wants us the whole month. He wants us the whole time to be sold out to Him. Praise the Lord. And you know, God came in with that plan that would ultimately make possible to reinstate mankind, reinstate us back into the sinless spiritual position He once enjoyed. I could see God say today, I could see Him on the throne looking down upon Hope Campus, and He's seeing each and every person that's in here, and it makes His heart happy to see the ones that are here. Now, would it make Him sad for the ones that are not here? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if He would or not. But I can tell you, He is excited about you. He's ready to reinstate whatever you have done in your life to sell all of your real estate over to the devil to get you back and, you know, get you back into where that spiritual position that He can enjoy. God enjoys seeing His people happy. Now, don't get me wrong. He likes seeing us do, you know, fellowship with one another. He likes to see us do things with our family. He likes to see us do things, but He doesn't want to see us. He wants us to be His representative in those places. Because you know, I know that when we go someplace, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus. Like if we have a function at our house or here at the church, whatever. When they see me or see anybody else from the church, are they saying, yeah, I got to go to that church? They show the love of Jesus. Do we show that? Do we go out and do what God tells us to do? Go out and bring in the lost. That's part of God's commandment for us. That's part of Him telling us what to do. And, you know, He wants us to grab a hold of people. I tell you what, I knew a pastor told me this one time. He said, I got $100. The person next week brings somebody in, you'll get this $100. And if they keep staying, they'll get $100 for every Sunday they're there. He said, I never seen so many people running all over the place trying to get people to come to church. That tells you something right there, don't it? They'll do it for money. But, you know, they won't do it because God said it. But you understand what I'm saying? God's heart is wanting to love on each and every one of us. He wants to our time together. He wants us to bring it together and to lift up the name of Jesus in His house. Now, sure, you can lift up His name out there, but it's nothing like a corporate time, just like when we have our corporate prayer in June. That's a call. As the pastor of the church, I'm calling you into a prayer. And some people may work nights. Some people may not be able to be here, but it's a call to the church. We pray the word of God over the situation that goes on in people's lives here at this church, people's lives of your families, the country, our parish, our state, the nation. We pray for Israel. We pray for that. And we also call for a time of repentance, because before we can pray, we got to be repentant before God. Not coming in on Sunday and then messing up the rest of the week. We try to hurry and get out of here real quick. Got to get on. I got to get. Got to beat the other denomination to the restaurant. But when we get out of here, the restaurant's just opening. So you ain't going to beat nobody but the owner. Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? That it's time that the church repent and get back on its knees. Get back and do what God says to do. And quit playing church. Be the church that God wants us to be. And it's time to lift ourselves up, tie up our boots, and go and do what God says for us to do. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this today?